Hi, everyone. Good morning. Thank you, Bruno. So my talk will be a little bit different, as we don't have, a new scientific finding. What we did is kind of to put some model, process-based model, in an extension project in order to try to give growers and companies some better information about the climate and so on. So I don't know, maybe some of you, I just moved from a research institute to university, and this university is very well related to growers. So in these 4 years, we find that there would be a big gap in terms of climate information to the agriculture in Brazil. And then we start to thinking how to fill this gap, giving some info. And interesting to say that this message starts to come to me as a professor inside the university, that people trying to, well, don't you have any anything to help us in an operational way to make management, to planning next harvest? So this is not my view. I understand that this view from the Brazilian growers, Brazilian agriculture, from several crops. Other thing that helped a lot on this in this way was the idea of climate change reaching the very basic growers, simple people can understand this and can, well, things are not as we have before. Maybe we should take care about climate. And this was the second how can I say, the second factor that moved us to build the system. And then we start to see the big companies moving to climate related info, trying to or buying other companies or going as a startups to dealing with climate with a focus on agriculture. So our goal was to include inside process-based for this kind of info. And process-based model, as I think you know better than me, can integrate weight and can give one indicator for growth, because growers is not really interested in climate, it's interested in yield. So, and then we use a process-based. In fact, we are using mostly DSAT, but I put some other models available. And then we created this. This is in Portuguese. Our system is not designed to be international, so I keep it as in Portuguese. It's kind of the weather on the field, the system for weather on the field. And this is a system that runs inside the University of São Paulo. This is a kind of public service which growers can hire by contract with the university. Okay, and students of my lab working on this, giving support to the growers. And how we do this? So first, we try to organize a big database with weather, soil and farming system description for the whole Brazil. Now what we do is collecting all the open weather information around the country every night. But we also using reanalysis data and also forecast data to cover mainly on the weather side of the database. So now we can cover at least any part of the country, but we also use the surface weather stations. If the user has its own weather station, we can absorb this data. We can input this data, the measure data. Okay, this is a kind of a very basic flow chart of the system, and in fact, the system is a kind of Frankenstein of different softwares. We start with Python, R, and then Fortran, and then MATLAB, and then Fortran again, and then we finish with Excel or R again. And what we have in new is this process simulation. So all we have in terms of yield we use the process-based simulation, and then we had to sharp this up, to take it out some parts of this up, and just keeping the heart of the system, and plug the input and output to have the an operational system, because we don't calibrate every day. We just calibrate for one group one time, and then it receives by email every day or every week the outputs of the system. So just to give you an example, one of the biggest challenges on this is to calibrate the model. So here we have an example of the maze, and if you see the title of the paper, the system was designed on maize for soybean and sugarcane, and now we have maize already, so I changed the title of this presentation. So we have the experimental data that we mostly do by eye fitting, as we usually do for calibrating models. When we move to plot level, this is very common for sugarcane. I mean plot level something like the yield for a 10 hectares plot in average. Then we need to have another assumptions here. One is maybe manual eye fitting will not be feasible. So we use techniques like glue to help us. But we always keep the eye fitting as the first step, glue as the second step, and we finish this also maybe assuming that some management stuffs can be included on genetic coefficients. So we do not keep the main idea of genetic is only genetic. Sometimes we include on the genetic coefficient some management to fit the model for different production systems we have or farming systems we have around the country. And the most difficult when we go for soybean example, this is the association of soybean producer on Mato Grosso, which is the biggest producer in Brazil, and they give us the last six season, but in the count scale. So we have a lot of difference in terms of soil, and here we need to use a multivariate analysis together with DSAT to calibrate the model. So we have DSAT as a input variable inside a bigger model. Okay, to have this kind of fit. Anyway, what we usually do is to have a initial meeting of growers or companies, trying to teach them how to interpret this. So models are always wrong. So we need to say that, and how much uncertainty we have, and you need to deal with. We are not taking the decision for you. Now I have just some examples how we present this. This is a very interesting way to show here the rainfall in a weekly basis that we found, and we consider this very useful to very didactical way to show people how's the rainfall, and then you can compare for the last 10 harvest on how is the season. This is the way we usually show what we call the monitoring, the yield monitoring. So in the blue area, we have the current season yield. The red line, you have last season, and blue line, you have the average of the last 30 years. So growers can see how we're going this season, we are doing better or not, considering that the only difference is climate. Okay, this is, we are not taking account here the difference in terms of management, so we are just exposing the effect of climate during the season. How do we forecast? In fact, we do not forecast. We just look to the climatology. Sorry for the figure, but here, if you trust me, we have a red line, which is the last season, and for the last season, I have the whole database. And up to here, to this point, is today. So I have the data for today on the database, the weather database, but for tomorrow I don't have any data. So what I do, I run the model for the last 40 years that I have in the database, and I have a kind of ensemble of 40 possible climates, and then from this we select the quartiles. So we select the 74, the 50, and the 25, and then we just give a good name, a marketing name. It's kind of optimist, the intermediary, and the pessimist. Okay, and then comparing the last season with the next season, or so you can see, based on this coefficient, how is the relationship comparing the last season with the next one. A number better, bigger than one is good. Climate's helping you. Less than one, climate is not good. So this is, we call this a climate yield coefficient. From Portuguese, we call CPC, and CPC became very, very, how can I say, very, very common. And, oh, how is the CPC bigger than one, lower than one? And then growers can understand this. So you don't need to see any process-based crop model running. You just look at the CPC, and then we can interpolate the CPC for the role. This is a map from January for sugarcane in Brazil, and then I run really fast in February, and then you can see here a very big red area since January. This is 4 months behind to before to start the harvest season. We are already showing growers that there is a problem on here. April, May, June, and this is the real map made by the union of industry in Brazil that go to the field and make some harvest. And you can see here the very red area. This is from October. So we prevent this 10 months before, okay? Also, we give the basic weather variables. We are going to have a mobile app for growers that want to use and download the info. Okay, just to conclude, this we have 14 months running this system, and we have a very, very, very good reception from the private market in Brazil. So many sugar mills and union of industry, the main association of growers of soybean, and a big company dealing with maize came to make contracts with the university and to observe this data. This is the current team that we have there. I should thank these guys that helped a lot. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Time for a quick question.
Yep.
Yes, please.
If you request predicted yields for this year on yields, realized yields of last year, do you not get a bias? Would it not be that you're referring strictly to last year's performance? Would it not be better to have some average yield as your basis?
Maybe I didn't get you. Can you repeat, please?
Well, in the CPC calculation,
okay,
as I understood, you took last year's yields and compared those with this year's, with the current year's.
Okay.
And then regressed at 55%, 50%, 55%. But if you use last year's performance or last year's climate,
okay,
as a baseline, would it not be better to use an average over the last 30 years?
Yeah, it can be. And we start doing this, but for growers, it remembers better the last year than the average. So in terms of the didactical, we understand. So because if they lose money, they lost money last year, so yeah, that was a bad year. So then we change it to. So for the grower side, is better to use the last year. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruno.